Psalm 41. Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble. The Lord will protect him and preserve his life. He will bless him in the land and not surrender him to the desire of his foes. The Lord will sustain him on his sickbed and restore him from his bed of illness. I said, O Lord, have mercy on me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? Whenever one comes to see me, he speaks falsely, while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it abroad. All my enemies whisper together against me. They imagine the worst for me, saying, a vile disease has beset him. He will never get up from the place where he lies. Even my close friend, whom I trusted, he who shared my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, have mercy on me. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. In my integrity you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Matt, and it's my pleasure to speak to you this morning. As we do, we're going to start off with a game. Oh, I feel there's not enough games in the 8 a.m. service. This is a game that I downloaded onto my phone this week for the purpose of actually introducing you guys to what we're going to do in our sermon this morning. It's a game that's called Close Up Picks. And what happens is you'll see a little bit of a picture, it's very close up, and the question we're asking is, can you tell what the bigger picture's going to be? You're zooming in on something, and it'd help me up the front if you sort of give me some sort of indication of, yes, I think I know what that is, just so I'm not waiting for forever. So the question is, can you see the big picture? Here's the first one coming up. Yep, fantastic. I can hear straight away people know that's a dolphin. Well done. Now, in this game, you run against the clock, not that we're going to do that now, but it does get harder each time. We're going to see if we can get to level 5. That's an easy one. Level 2 is a little bit harder. Do you know what this is? We're filled with comedians today. It's an animal. I heard some people say it. It's a great white shark. That's right. Now, I felt that level 3 got a lot harder. So I will warn you now, if you're struggling with that one, can you recognize what this is? What's the bigger picture of? I can hear some people are close. I'll give you a hint. It's an insect. We'll see the answer. It's the thorax of a grasshopper. If we struggled with that one, I think level 4 will also be a bit of a struggle. What is this? Close. Again, it's an insect. Now, that might not sound close, but that is a hint. A bee. Yeah, well done. That's a close-up of a bee. It's got pollen all over it there, as you can see. And the last one, again, not a particularly attractive one. If you're not a spider, it's an insect again. A close, just as annoying. Yes, this one is your common house fly. Not an attractive beast, is it? I think we'll just go back to the blank slide. As we look at these pictures close up, it can be quite difficult to see the bigger picture, can't it? I think we often do the same thing with the Psalms. As we've heard a few times this morning, we're in a series throughout January where we're looking at individual Psalms. And as we do that, we zoom in, we have that close look at what these Psalms are about. I wanted to actually do the opposite this morning. I want us to see the big picture. You see, Psalms form a book. Have you ever wondered what the storyline of the book is? What's the message of the book of Psalms as a whole? We're used to zooming in and looking closely like we did, but today we're going to step back and we're going to look not at all 150 Psalms if you're looking at your watch, but we are going to take a few of them to see how there actually is a story in the book of Psalms and to see what it is and how it unfolds. Now, let me just explain how we're going to do that. There might be some skeptics among us. You might be thinking, yeah, I'm unconvinced. Let me just give you a quick illustration of how we can actually be sure that, there is a story there. When I listen to a CD, I generally just listen to the particular songs. And I enjoy this one, and that one's not so much to my taste. I like this because it's upbeat, and this one's a bit slower. But I generally don't think much more about the CD as an album more than that. However, I do notice that when people review CDs, they talk about the themes of all the songs together as a collection. They talk about the flow of the CD. When our church produces a CD, I've noticed that that's what the reviews do. And in the same way, someone has collected all these songs and put them in a particular order in the book of Psalms so that they tell a story. When I was young, I attended a church and we would sing from the hymn book. And I loved flipping through it and seeing the different sections in the hymn book. There was the Christmas section. I got in trouble when I picked some of those songs and it wasn't Christmas. Other sections were praise or confession. And in the same way, in the book of Psalms, it's divided up into sections. 5 in all. And so just like we did in our introduction, we're going to try and get to level 5. We're going to have a close-up look at the last psalm in each section and see the story of the book of the Psalms as a whole. Sounds ambitious, but I'm sure we'll be able to pull it off this morning. The first psalm, therefore, we're going to look at is Psalm 41, our first Bible reading. In the first section of the Psalms, Psalm 1 and 2 form a bit of an introduction. And then there's a lot of psalms about David. And Psalm 41 sort of summarizes the other ones. It's representative. It's indicative of the psalms that have gone before. Not all of them, of course, but generally speaking. So as Psalm 41 comes up on the screen, it reminds us of some of the things that we see in the first section or the first book of the book of Psalms. It's that David is in trouble again. If you've read these, you know that this happens a lot. And the trouble in this particular psalm is, Lord, have mercy on me, heal me. He's obviously sick. For I have sinned against you. He's sick because of some particular sin in his life. Now, when we read that, we think, okay, David's just a regular guy. He gets sick, as do we. He sins, as do we. But for this to happen to the king of a country is a big and worrying thing. I've picked a few verses out here. As you can see, his enemies are conspiring. They come to visit him and one presumes to wish him good health. But as they leave, he slanders the king. If we go to the next slide, this king will never get up. Your king is dying. What's going to happen next? Spreading worry amongst the people of God. Even his best friend has turned against him. And so the message, a summary of the first section, the first book of the Psalms, is perhaps coming up now. God save the king. Whether it's David saying, save me, whether it's God's people saying, this king is not as glorious as we would have hoped. The message of the first part of the book of Psalms is that the king needs help. God's promised king is in trouble too. Which brings us to book 2, or the second section in the book of the Psalms. The end psalm in this section is Psalm 72, our second Bible reading today. And that's a psalm that I love. I got to speak on that recently in our children's program just before Christmas. You might have noticed, as Jenny read it, that it's a prayer for the next king. The second section of the book of Psalms is pretty much the same as the first, except it gets worse. There are more negative psalms about David. You might know Psalm 51. It falls in this section, where David gets up and publicly confesses his sin. I've committed adultery with a woman and had her husband killed. And so this is a prayer for Solomon, I think is a better translation than of Solomon. Lord, bring on the son of David, the promised one. May he rule us with justice. May he bring justice to the afflicted ones. May he bring prosperity to your people. May he crush the oppressor. Do you notice that last bit there? May he endure as long as the sun. This former king was failed. He's dying. He's old. Bring on his successor. And so to sort of summarize the second part, or the second book of the Psalms, I've said this. If the first one is about God save the king, this one's about God give us a new king. Bring on the king that you've promised us, the king that we're looking forward to, the king that we're expecting because of what you've said. This brings us to book three. Book three is even more negative again. If David failed, his son Solomon didn't live up to that prayer. He followed in the ways of his father. And if you know the story of the Old Testament, king after king came, and things got worse and worse. In the time of Solomon's son, he lost the majority of the kingdom. Kings led their people in idol worship, and things got pretty desperate. Our next psalm is coming up, Psalm 89. I might read this, and these are the words of the Lord God Almighty, and then as the next slide comes up, I want you to respond as the people to what God has just said. Once for all, I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie, that David's line will continue forever. His throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. If you can read the next one. Do you hear the disjunction between that two parts of that psalm? The first one is God solemnly swearing in a way that sort of is reminiscent of the previous Psalm 72. I will give you a king who will last forever. And the people respond and say, what, amen? No, as you just read out, the people respond and say, God, this is not what we see. The crown is in the dust. Have you renounced your covenant with your servant? We look around and we see the walls of the palace, the walls of Jerusalem, the capital city, in ruins. Armies are marching through our nation, mocking us. God, can you keep your promise? The next few verses, hear how they ask this question. How long, Lord? Will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility have you created all humanity? Who can live and not see death? Who can escape the power of the grave? Lord, where is your former great love, which in your faithfulness you swore to David? God's people are in exile when this psalm was written. And they're looking around and they're saying, God, you've made some big promises. We're having trouble trusting you. Are you able to keep those promises? Are you willing to keep those promises? Do you love us anymore? It's a pretty low book in the book of Psalms. And so my summary of this book is as follows. If the first one was God save the king, God give us a new king, now it's basically God save us. Deliver us. Remember your promises and your love for us. Which brings us to the fourth book of the Psalms. Psalm 106 is the final psalm in this. And it's a psalm of hope. That might surprise you considering what we just heard. But in the fourth book or the fourth section of the Psalms, what we see is a trip down memory lane. Historical recaps. And what we see there as the Psalms move on is that God is faithful. But his people are not. As Psalm 106 comes up, let's read it together. It's a great psalm of confession. We have sinned, even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly. When our ancestors were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses, and they rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Next slide. Yet the Lord took note of their distress when he heard their cry. For their sake he remembered his covenant, and out of his great love he relented. He caused all who held them captive to show them mercy. Save us, Lord our God, and gather us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. What happens in this next section of the Psalms is as they look back on history, they see the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. His faithfulness extends to the heavens. His mercies endure. And so it is a call to keep trusting in the Lord, for he is faithful. While reminding the people, actually what we're experiencing is not new. Let's repent and turn back to him. Just as God heard the cry of our ancestors, so he will hear our cry if we confess. And so I've got a summary on the next screen again. Repent, God will save us. It's no longer God save the king. It's no longer just save us. It's we need to confess to the Almighty what we are experiencing as a result of our sin. Which brings us to the fifth and final book or section in the book of Psalms. It's one you're probably more familiar with. There are many songs of praise. Hallelujah, praise the Lord begins many of the next, the Psalms that finish it off. There are actually more messianic Psalms in the last book as well than in any other part. What that means is there's more Psalms that speak clearly about Jesus and are picked up in the New Testament and applied to him. What we're going to do is, often of course at 8 a.m. we have a choir, and because it's January we don't. Well today I'm going to pretend to be David Sansoni. I'm going to orchestrate you my choir. And as we look at this next psalm, I'm going to read out the first bits in the verses, and I'd love you guys to raise your voices and respond with the second parts of the verse that are in blue. Let's do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens.
Praise him,
all his angels.
Praise him,
sun and moon.
Praise him,
you highest heavens.
Let them praise the name of the Lord.
For he has raised up for his people a king.
He will bring praise to all his faithful servants of Israel. He will bless
and let's say the last bit together. Praise the Lord.
The reason there's so much praise in these last few psalms is there on the screen. God can keep his promises. God will keep his promises. He will give his people the king. A king who will not fail like all those who have gone before him. The true son of David, who, as we've seen in these psalms, will bring prosperity and blessing to his people. Who will lift up the weak and needy. Who will rule us with true justice and righteousness. The king who will rule forever. And thus ends the book of the Psalms. There's two more psalms, of course. They sort of conclude the book of the Psalms as the first two psalms introduce it. And so my summary of the last book is coming up again now. God will save us through the King. Hold to that promise. Now, what we've just done, of course, is had a close-up look at many psalms, and then we've seen the big picture of the psalms unfold. Just as I finish off now, let me just bring a few points of application to us. The first one is this. We need to listen to the lyrics. This is true, of course, of any song that we listen to. I really learnt this when I first became a parent. I remember singing to a song that I loved, and with my child there in the backseat of the car, I thought, yeah, I'm not sure they're the sort of lyrics I would like my child to listen to. So why am I singing them? I'd never thought about the particular words before. How much more should we do that when it comes to the words of the songs of God's people? Listen carefully to them. Zoom in. Do those close-ups. And look at each individual part carefully. My suspicion is that we love the Psalms. The Psalms have always been the songs of God's people. But I'm not sure how well we often read them, how carefully we pay attention to what it says. An example was given to us last week when Ken preached. When we look at Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, we might think, amen. But do you read as carefully those bits that are in many, many psalms and that we saw last week? Lord, I hate those who hate you. Do you find yourself saying amen to that? Often I wonder if we just skip over those parts. Now, we need to read each psalm. We need to listen to each song carefully. Zoom in and see the close-up. Nonetheless, having said that, we also need to zoom out. We need to see the big picture in the psalms. After all, they're no different to really the rest of the Bible. When we read it, we look at the big picture. We look at what's happened beforehand and what happens afterwards. We place it in the context of God's holy scriptures. We need to do the same ourselves so that we make sure when we read the Psalms, as we read any part of the Bible, we see the Son of David. We see the promised Christ. We need to not just do the close-ups, but we need to zoom back so that we can see the promised King who we love. The promised King who we're still awaiting to return. We need to make sure that we see Jesus, not just our own situation in the Psalms. We need to remind ourselves of his beauty, his grace, and his glory. And finally, as we read the Psalms, as we hear this story, it reminds us, of course, that the story of the whole book of Psalms is the story of the gospel. It's a story that reminds us as we look at ourselves, as we look at the world around us, as we look at our lives, things are not perhaps what we expected. And so we pray with the psalmist, bring on the King. May Christ return. We need to repent as we read. We need to have our eyes focused again on the Lord who can and will keep his promises so that we are filled with hope, so that we end up praising him
like the psalmist. Today we've had a close-up of the Psalms, reminding us to make sure we read them carefully. We've stepped back and saw the big picture, the story of them all, so that we can step back and see the glory of our risen Lord Jesus. We need to make sure that we do keep reading carefully, so that we too will praise the holy name of our Lord. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the great spread, the great scope of the book of Psalms. Thank you that it reminds us of the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Father, although we too are weak, we too are sinners, we thank you that your steadfast love endures forever. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your mercies endure. Father, fill us with hope as the world around us, as our lives indeed, aren't what we expect. Fill us with hope for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And until then, may we praise your holy name, for you are good. Amen.